Family Law, this is your week 12 podcast, and I am going to discuss spousal support. Now, some of you may have firsthand knowledge of spousal support, either receiving, paying, or someone close in your family or friend circle who's either paid or received spousal support. Like marital property, it's often become a negotiated item. Many times it comes down to a give and take that leave both parties feeling like they took a hit. Unlike child support that's required and very definite, marital property and spousal support come with a lot of give and take and many factors and variables. Big items like property, cars, and houses require the parties to take into consideration their equity and their debt for those properties. It often comes down to not only who may want a particular item, but who can afford to keep or pay for the right to keep the property. Spousal support isn't required, and it can be waived or traded off for other property considerations. More equity and maybe the entire marital home is an example. If you recall what I might have said a few weeks ago about my typical first bit of advice to divorce clients to try to view this as they would splitting a business with a business partner, it really should make sense this week and next. At the end of the day, with the things we're talking about now, that is where it will end up. And emotions, hurt, anger, none of that's going to matter in the final equation because it's going to come down for most people to the value of the thing, the item, the real estate, the car, or the whatever it is. And again, for most people, any debt. So if they have a $150,000 house, but they owe $100,000 on it, and the income of two people was needed to pay the mortgage, taxes, and insurance on that $150,000 house, it's going to be a stretch for one of those individuals to keep the house and pay the other individual what they're entitled to, which would be 50% of the equity, and then assume a mortgage on their own. All sorts of factors come into play. Now, despite giving that advice that they treat it like a business, and let me tell you, I've been involved in both as counsel for someone who was on either end of splitting a business, and I've actually been an arbitrator and mediator in those types of cases. It gets just as emotional as a divorce. In fact, you know, those of you that had administrative law in the fall, and we talked about dissolution of a business, that's what we call it, dissolution of a business. What do we call it? Divorce in Illinois, dissolution. It's very emotional. So taking the emotion out is a good goal. My point to people, though, is that the more emotion that becomes part of either party's focus, the more expensive it will be to those individuals, either client. It's going to cause them to spend money on legal fees, probably being dissatisfied with representation of either attorney. And at the end of the day, it's going to come down to the dollars and cents and a spreadsheet. And who can afford what? And most likely, they end up in the same place or potentially worse because now they have fees or they weren't able to agree and they can't get past it. And so they end up with something that really doesn't benefit them or, you know, the other person. Or then when you have that situation, they're going at each other. If there's kids, the family. Now, when we're talking about, and I use that business analogy, when partners in a business break up, property, debt and equity, and who gets it is responsible for what, you know, who's responsible for what, those are the only issues. We don't have children issues, you know, issues that keep people together, entitlement to retirement, you know, those sorts of things. Children typically create that bond that connects the two individuals, the two divorced individuals, for their lifetime. And we've covered the child obligations before the age of majority pretty extensively. The reality is that for parties of a divorce, the property aspects and responsibilities or money sought from either party beyond child support is a matter of determining the debt versus equity of each asset. It requires assessing the value of those assets and the desire of one party to receive and another party being willing to give up those assets. And it requires acceptance of the ability of the party that wants the assets to either pay the other person or obtain financing to pay the other person for their share of equity in the asset. Now, child support and other issues can be more easily determined because the statute provides firm expectations and a formula. In this area, it's less so, and it can be extremely frustrating for you, the lawyer, and the client as negotiations proceed. The entire apple cart can be upset by one party or another changing direction on where they wanted to go with one or more assets. More often than not, you and your supervising lawyer may find yourselves reloading the apple cart. I've seen that time and time again for people that I've tried to help, for people I know and consulted for, and in my own circumstances. Emotion. If you end up in this area of law, or even a devoted business practice, be prepared to follow the process of creating, updating, accurately inventorying the property. Now, you can use the family expense affidavit as a guide, but if you think about, those of you that are in wills, trusts, and estates this semester, if you think about our property discussion, real and personal property, that's what you're categorizing. Real and personal property. What's the value of those things, each and every one of them? What's any debt owed? And then who wants it? And after that, it's calculations. You have to have thick skin, and sometimes you have to sit down and show the individual, the client, the reality. But you can't do that until you have that list of the properties, the values, the debts, the realities of what they're either going to need to come up with or give up to deal with each and every one of those items. Clients may be disgruntled, emotional, and maybe even rude, and probably often rude, when they're caught up in their emotion. And sometimes they have trouble letting go. Sometimes people get caught up or hooked on things that seem really, really insignificant. I had one divorce I was representing a client on a long, long time ago, and they went to war over a toaster. Over a toaster that you could go to Target or wherever, Walmart, and find the toaster and buy the toaster, maybe a better toaster. They went to war over the toaster. I mean, we resolved it, but it blew up where we were going and took a large part of a day to get past the toaster. And they paid me and my paralegal and the other lawyer and the other paralegal a motion. Stick with the formula. Keep your spreadsheet updated. Don't argue. Don't get tweaked and react to an emotional response or accusation by the client or the opposing lawyer party. And use the greatest benefit you have available to you when things seem to be headed towards a direction that may be uncomfortable. Make your lawyer engage and deal with the situation. Go into the lawyer. Ask if you can talk to the lawyer, close the door, sit down, and say, hey, here's what's going on, and it's getting out of hand, and I'm having trouble dealing with it. Because you know what? The lawyer, by our ethical code, is responsible for you, for what you're doing, for ultimately the interactions with the client, and the lawyer should engage. You know, my now boss, Dean Weghorst, did exactly that back in the day. When we're in the law office, if we had a client who was getting a little emotional, maybe a little difficult, or difficult opposing counsel or opposing counsel's paralegal, she had an issue that was causing her angst that she was not able to get a handle on, it was expected that she came and got me because it's my job as the lawyer. Until otherwise noted, you can't practice law or provide services or advice directly to someone. And so ultimately, that's your saving grace. You get to go in and say, hey, I tried, but this is going somewhere unreasonable. So remember that, if nothing else. 4 more weeks left. Please keep your energy up. Please finish this last quarter of the semester strong. I appreciate your efforts. If you need me, you know where to find me.